Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon, Coos County. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It's another Monday here in the Bay Area, and a beautiful day it is. A little cloudy, but it's warm, and it's not pouring down rain, so it's not all bad either. Anyway, I do sincerely welcome you to the show. I hope that I can live up to your expectations today. We got a lot of things I want to talk about, and I want to start off with Rob Taylor. Rob's in the studio with me as usual.
As usual, causing trouble, you know, bringing melees, you know, all over the place.
But you attended abandoned city council meeting last week, and that was kind of a strange thing. I'd like you to talk to the people about what exactly happened at that meeting.
Well, as you know, as anyone knows, I'm one of those people who tries to attend the county commissioner's meeting or the city council meeting anytime they are going to pass any ordinance or new code that would violate our property rights or any of our rights. If they increase taxes, increase the debt that has to be paid with taxes, if they tried to restrict the initiative or referendum process, those are all the types of things that, you know, when I'm going through the agenda every month, I look for those types of things. And if I see something that catches my eye, such as what they were doing last week, and they were talking about the vacation rental dwellings ordinance. Okay. And this places more restrictions on rental dwellings in Bandon. One of the things that I was ticked off about with this ordinance is I thought it was increasing the amount of or putting a percentage on the amount of dwellings, rental dwellings that could be in any neighborhood or the neighborhoods that allow them, because it's not allowed. And most abandoned, there's only just a few areas. You got Beach Loop Drive, and then there's some adjacent areas to Beach Loop Drive that has the ability, the legal authority, to claim their house as a vacation rental. They can go get the permits from the city, but the rest of us are not. And so, you know, that's something that I was kind of ticked off about, because why is my neighborhood and the people who own houses in my neighborhood restricted from making money off of their property if they have a chance to do that?
And I want to add something here that immediately occurs to me. For years, we've been told, well, we don't need any industry here. We don't need big companies coming in and building facilities to provide jobs, because we're going to survive on tourism. And I know most of the Bandon Council is part of those people.
Yes.
They want to survive on tourism, and yet they want to restrict the ability of people to come here and spend money.
And those are the kinds of things that I go, wow, are these people that smart? Okay. You know, and so I don't understand really why they don't, you know, I'm one of those who I'm against most zoning laws anyway. I just don't think they're necessary because there's not going to be businesses that move into residential areas. They want to be on the main streets. You know,
yeah.
There's just things in the free market that causes businesses to be in business areas and homes to be in residential areas. And I don't see any reason why any of my neighbors, if they wanted to turn their house into a vacation rental, that they couldn't do this. And, of course, we don't live on the ocean. We live about a block away from the ocean.
Right.
We live just down from the cemetery that overlooks the bay, and that's the place where everyone shows up on the 4th of July to watch the fireworks show. Is, you know, they get to visit
right.
the dead, and they get to see the best plot in the entire city is that cemetery at the end of Division Street. And so I live up from there, and I don't see a reason why, if my neighbors wanted to turn their house into a vacation rental, that they shouldn't be allowed to do this. So
yeah.
I saw this ordinance, and I wanted to find out what it was all about. And one of the things I was protesting is that they only allow a 30% saturation rate in the areas that they allow vacation rentals. What that means is that of all the houses that are there, only 30% of them can be a vacation
right,
rental.
Right, one out of three. Yeah.
I'm one of those, I believe that the free market should decide that. And if the free market will bear out 50, 60, 70% saturation rate, I don't have a problem with that. And I even asked the council if at any point in time, do they reach that 30% rate? And they said almost never, except once in a while in the summertime, which almost kind of proves they need more than the 30%.
Right, yeah.
So I proved my point both ways. So I went up there and I went to discuss this, and I told the council that they need to put this on the ballot. It's a new ordinance. You're going to restrict some people, because what they're doing is they're creating a new rule where if you build a house, you have to wait 3 years before you can apply for a license. And I think if you want to build a house, once again, it's your property. If you want to turn it into a vacation rental right away, do it. It
Why
should
not?
Be up to
yeah.
you. Right. You know, these city councilors in Bandon, they just have no concept of private property rights. And then the other thing that they wanted to do was they had all these different rules and on guiding how you conduct yourself with owning one of these things. And one of them was you have to be have 24-hour response, and you had to respond within 30 minutes. Now imagine if you were having a root canal in Coos Bay, and
oh, right.
and you and someone called you from Bandon saying you needed to reply in 30 minutes, you're just not going to make it, Jim. So
yeah.
those are the types of things, once again, that's not practical, and so they were going to have to take it back, discuss it, and change some of this. So I told them, well, when you come back, you're going to eliminate some of the area that's right now allowed to have vacation dwellings, and they admitted that, and they're going to zone that out of certain areas. And so people bought those houses in those areas thinking that they could turn their house into a vacation
right.
rental. So they're really taking away some of the value and some of the profit that people can make in those neighborhoods. I thought that was genuinely wrong. And so, you know, I'm very assertive. And I went up there and I told him with no uncertain terms, you got to put it on the ballot or I was going to do it for you.
Right.
Now, that was fine. And the city council was great. In fact, they questioned me on what I liked and what I didn't like. And we had a long discussion. But after the end of the meeting, we got to the public's comment section. And one of the ladies who's normally pro-environment, anti-development, she got up to the city council and she apologized for the person at the beginning of the meeting who threatened the city council with, you know, with these implications that I was going to do something to stop what they were doing
right.
for the ordinance, the vacation dwelling ordinance. And, of course, I go, is she talking about me? And, you know, they all looked at me like, well, yeah, she's talking about you. And so I got a little ticked off because I don't think anyone should apologize for me because the city council has all the authority.
Yes.
They're the ones who are making laws that are going to diminish my property values. They're the ones who are making laws that are going to take more of our tax dollars. So I don't see it as a threat when I go up there and I tell the Bandon City Council that they need to do their job and they need to let the citizens decide. So I was very taken back, and I went up there and I told the lady basically while I was speaking to the city council that if you don't like the law, change the law. And as I was walking out, she goes, well, it was your attitude. And I said, well, here's my attitude, and I flipped her off.
Yeah.
And which she deserved. Well, here's what really ticked me off, and I want everyone to understand, I've got relatives who are police officers. I respect police officers. I respect the law, and I think that the chief of police in Bandon is a great guy. His name is Webb, Chief Webb, and he has one guy on there, and after I flipped this woman off, I was leaving, Jim. The meeting was over, and I was walking out.
Right.
And as I was getting to the two double doors to go outside, the guy comes out, and he yells at me, hey! And, of course, I turned around, and I go, what? Because, you know, I don't want to be shot in the back
right. yeah.
by a crazy cop who's stopping me. He goes, you need to leave. And I go, well, what do you think I'm doing, you moron?
Yeah.
And he comes up and he says, you can't be flipping people off. And I said, look, I will flip off anyone I want to flip off, including you. And yes, I flipped off the officer. In fact, I flipped him off once. But then I said, you know, you deserve two today. And I flipped him off twice. And then I stuck my arms out in a way that you would be if you were getting handcuffed.
Right.
And I told the officer straight to his face, I dare you to arrest me, and I dare you because I'll sue you and the entire city for violating my freedom of expression. And the guy's look on his face was just, and you could tell
now,
he...
Now, these are the same people that don't have a word to say when you go out along the street and you see people standing there carrying F. Trump signs.
Right.
These are the same people that allow these idiots to go out there and scream in people's faces basically demonstrating their stupidity.
Right.
And you don't hear a peep out of them about that. But somebody stands up to power and tells them, well, you know, if you don't do it, we will.
Right.
Then that's a threat.
That is what they considered a threat. And I even told them, this is the legal remedy that our founding fathers gave us so that we could stop overzealous politicians that we have, like in Bandon. And I believe they're way overzealous. You know, they just spent a ton of money on this new trolley that they bought, and I don't know how they paid for it or what city funding they paid for it with. I'm willing to bet it was probably that urban renewal money. But once again, they're involving themselves in industry in which they have no business to be in. And they're competing against people who might want to do something themselves, such as a trolley, but yet they've defeated that purpose because they've already eliminated the competition.
Yeah.
So these are the types of things. And like you said, we want more tourism. Then why don't they lower the standards for the law so that we can have more vacation rentals and more people might visit this city?
Yeah, well, You're using common sense here, Rob, and you know, that's a little difficult when you're dealing with politicians because common sense doesn't apply. But
right,
you know, it's just another example, I think, and we see it all over. We see it at city level, we see it at county level, state level, and even federal level, where people get in a position of power. And they can't wait to exercise that power, whether it makes any sense to do so or not. And the other part of it is, aren't we all getting a little bit tired of elitists telling the rest of us how we should live?
And that's really all I wanted. Jim, was for the city council to put it on the ballot. So even the lady who claimed I was threatening
right.
the city council would have a choice for this election on this question.
Yeah, and I think that's entirely appropriate. Let the people speak. That's the whole idea of representative government, is it not?
I would think so, yes.
Yeah. And with that, we got to take a break here. We're going to run a little bit over time, so we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With the cold, harsh winter months behind us and summer right around the corner, you want to make sure your tires are ready for your adventure. Whether it's off-roading, a drive up the coast, or to the mountains, you want to drive with confidence that only Cooper Tires can provide. With a wide selection of Cooper Tires, Far West Tire and Auto has all your tire needs covered. Stop by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101 Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the Big Boomin' Y in Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I want to remind everybody, if you'd like to join the conversation today, you can do that. You can call me here at 541-267-2124. And if you're outside the immediate calling area, you can call toll-free at 800-507-5569. And with that, we're going to go right to the phones and talk to Tracy in Bandon. Tracy, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I just wanted to apologize to Rob. I couldn't stay for the whole meeting. I missed something, didn't I? The ending there?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
You missed the good part, man.
Yeah.
Here's the good joke is that zombies do cross the bridge. Wow. What was it? I was shocked about this whole incident. I'm sorry I missed it, though. I would have loved to watch that.
Yeah, it would have been entertaining, wouldn't it?
You know, the problem with those meetings is that it's almost 95% boredom with, you know, maybe once in a while that 1% of excitement. So it's hard. It's easy to miss it because it's hard to stay awake and pay attention.
Oh, I was staying awake. I was just watching zombies talk.
Yeah.
They were going off on things that didn't have nothing to do with the property values and stuff. It was just all over the board.
And you know, the amazing thing is they kept talking about putting new terms and amendments to the law, and then they would realize the horrible consequences to putting new restrictions and realize it was just going to create a worse problem than what they had. So they don't even know what they're doing because they don't know what the consequences are.
Exactly. I was just shocked on the way that ended. I wish I would have been there, but I had to get going. Wow. That blew my mind. You know who I am, right? The Filipino on steroids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know who you are as soon as you called. And I'll be sure to tell.
To put a smile on your face.
I'll tell Jim the joke you told me after the meeting. That was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll like that one. All right, guys. Keep it up.
Okay, thank you for the call, Tracy.
Bye.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Jim, I got to tell you, you know, I came in and I was impressed you were wearing one of those mega hats. And in case anyone who doesn't know what those mega hats is, Make America Great Again. And you know, I like this because the next time they have one of those protests for whatever anti-Trump protest, I don't care what issue they're going to use to be an anti-Trump
protest.
Well,
it's all
protest.
Hate Trump.
Yeah,
it
all
doesn't
hate Trump.
Matter.
We're going to have to go down there with your hat and see who tries to grab for it first. That's my contest.
See which one wants to go to the hospital first.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'd enjoy that. And it's a nice red one. And what I like about it, it's not your normal Make America Great. It actually has Donald's signature on it. It has Donald's name on the back. So when you're walking back behind you, you can see old Trump's name. And on the front of it, it says the 45th president. I like that.
Yeah.
Number 45. Yeah. We should have a special edition for Maxine Waters.
Well, you know, when I ordered that, I wanted to order the most Trumpian hat I could find. And this was it.
You know, they need a spike on the top of that. That would really make that, you know.
It looked like a lightning rod.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
Well, you know, what prompted me to do that was a couple weeks ago when that bunch of people were down there on the boardwalk protesting Donald Trump's immigration policies, which oddly enough are exactly the same as Barack Obama's immigration policies and George W. Bush's immigration policies and Bill Clinton's immigration policies. They didn't want to demonstrate back then, but they wanted to demonstrate because Trump's doing the same thing. And of course, there were a bunch of signs out there. A number of them said F Trump,
right?
Which I thought was real class.
Yep.
But I thought, well, you know, if they're going to go out there and demonstrate their stupidity, because remember, you can't cure stupid.
Right.
They wanted to demonstrate how stupid they really are. And I thought, well, this is a good thing. Let them do it because normal people realize it for what it is. And I thought, well, next time it happens, I will have a Make America Great Again hat and really give them something to protest. The problem is you can't talk to these people because all they want to do is shout you down. They don't really want to talk issues because they don't know the issues.
You know, I even have a hard time talking to my friends who are ultra-liberals because the first thing they do is they'll grab hold of, well, you know, he was colluding with Russia, all that Russia collusion, and it's like they just cannot get away from this stuff. And you're like, well, okay, but let's talk now, about some of the things he's done.
Let me tell you about Russian collusion because I've been researching this for some time. There is no law against collusion. Collusion is not a legal term.
Well,
this is something that they came up with to try to hang on Donald Trump, but there is no legal offense of collusion.
Yeah, because if it was, Hillary would be in jail, right?
Yes. Well, half of the Congress
and
would
half
be
the
in
Congress.
Jail, which is probably appropriate.
And that's the other thing, Jim, is most of those congressmen met with some representative from Russia or Russian company.
Yes.
Because that is part of dealing with foreigners.
It's part
in
of their
business.
Job.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and it happens every day, as well it should.
Right.
But they came up, somebody, I think it was the media, started this collusion thing. It's a non-issue. There is no such thing as legal collusion.
Maybe we should turn that into a drink, the Russian collusion. It's maybe vodka.
I like it. Yeah.
Vodka and milk or something. We'll come up with something here.
Yeah, vodka and pineapple. Yeah. Who knows? But yeah. So it's a fake narrative from the get-go, and yet all these people are out there demonstrating as if it was real. And the reality is, these people, when you try to talk to them, they cannot give you any specifics on what they're demonstrating for or against.
Well, they'll tell you, Trump is separating families from their children. And it's like, oh, you mean like the families that we send off to protect our country every day, that there are families separated because military men have to go and do the job that most people don't want to do?
Well, according to them, we are not allowed to incarcerate mass murderers if they've got a family,
right?
Because it would separate them from their children.
It would separate them, the whole time we had this war on drugs, there were plenty of families who were separated from each other, but you didn't see, when the Democrats were trying to be hard or tough on crime, you didn't see them crying or protesting at that point in time when their congressmen were just as guilty of separating families. But you know what? Sometimes families need to be separated if there's danger to the children.
Well, and realistically, do you really want your children to grow up to be liberals? let's be real here. Before I get into it, I got a little story I want to tell, but we need to take a break and give something away. I know everybody hates this. This is from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. They're located in Coos Bay, North Bend. There's one in Walmart and another one in Reedsport. And the owner of those restaurants wanted to do something to show his appreciation to the community for his restaurants being successful. So he's authorized me to give away some goodies. And I like giving away stuff anyway. So what I have in my hand here, I have a certificate for one free dessert of your choice, another one for one free lunch or dinner sandwich of your choice, another one for one free breakfast sandwich of your choice, and another one for one free breakfast, lunch, or dinner extra value meal. That's an entire meal. You get the sandwich, fries, and a drink, the whole bit, as well as a sheet of coupons that are on various products. It's basically buy one, get one, three, and they're free, and there's like 9 coupons on the sheet. But I'm going to give all this away to caller number 3. At 541-267-2124. So dial the phone right now, 541-267-2124. Be calling number 3, and you'll win all these goodies from your locally owned McDonald's restaurants. And we'll be right back.
And now your weekly car care tip from Tom's Bulldog Automotive.
Hi, I'm Tom from Tom's Bulldog Automotive in Coos Bay. With the cold winter months here, it is time to have your cooling system serviced. Many people think their antifreeze only keeps their car's engine from freezing. In reality, the engine coolant does much more than protect your engine against the cold. It also protects against heat and corrosion. A quick way to destroy your engine is to run it too hot. Aluminum components can warp as a result of excessive heat. Good coolant improves the cooling system efficiency. It also keeps the cooling system from rusting, which can cause severe problems over time.
Go to Tom's Bulldog Automotive today. They'll clean, flush, and put new antifreeze in your cooling system to make sure your car is in tip-top shape for winter. Call Tom's Bulldog Automotive at 541-269-0399. That's 541-269-0399. Or go to tomsbulldog.com.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%, APR 4.19%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Every day people ask me, Jay, did I miss out? Have the rates gone up? The answer is no. Rates are still low, and it's a perfect time to refinance your home, especially if your mortgage rate is higher than 4.25%. If you'd like to lower your interest rate and save thousands of dollars in interest without starting over on a new 30-year loan, a Quicken Loans Yorgage is what you're looking for. With our exclusive Yorgage, you can choose a term that works best for you, anywhere from 8 to 30 years. The rate today on an 8-year Yorgage is 3.25%, APR 3.75%. For 7 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation for customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. And for the third year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in the nation for mortgage servicing. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. In clinical trials, Prevagen has been shown to improve short-term memory. Prevagen, the name to remember, now available in stores everywhere. Statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two Go Anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows for 40% off. And that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I want to tell a little story of my own. You had your chance.
Yeah, I had my chance.
Yeah. So I want to tell a little story of my own.
Was yours true, right? Because I just made mine up.
Mine's true. Mine's true. A couple weeks ago, I had my high-speed internet service through Spectrum Charter Communications, okay, and I've had it for years, and I've always been pretty pleased with it. You know, it's fast and stable and everything. And I went out to pay my bill a few weeks ago, and they've got a new sign on the door. It says, concealed permit holders, no weapons allowed on this premises. Well, I looked at that, and I translated that into English. It says, we don't want your business. So I went in and I talked to one of the people in there, and he rightly pointed out, he says, well, you know, we're private business. You know, we can make that determination, which is absolutely correct. Any business has the right to determine who may or may not go into that business and the terms of entering, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that.
No, we support that right.
Yeah. I support that right. Absolutely. But there's another side of that coin. The other side of the coin is I, as an individual, have every right to spend my hard-earned money wherever I choose to spend it. You know, that's my decision. And I explained to them, well, the sign on your door basically is telling me you don't want my money, so I'm going to cancel my service, which I did.
Sounds reasonable.
Well, the question is, why would I want to give my money to a company that does not appreciate my constitutionally guaranteed rights? Now, they have every right to make that determination. That's fine. I have no animosity, but I have a right to determine where I spend my money. So I went down and talked to Oregon Satellite.
Now, where are the – oh, not Oregon Satellite. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I went out and talked to Oregon Satellite. They advertise heavily on this radio station. And,
yep.
And the owner down there, Brett, I've known Brett for probably 30 years.
He has good commercials. I hear him all the time.
So anyway, I went down and talked to Brett. And here's the bottom line, folks. They came out. They sent a technician out, hooked up satellite internet for me. The guy was excellent. He knew his stuff. They put a satellite dish on my roof, and he did excellent work. It's very sanitary, very professional looking, everything works beautifully. Now, in all honesty, it is a tad slower than the cable, and it's a little more expensive. But I'm willing to make the speed sacrifice, and I'm willing to pay a little more money to a company that does not intend to infringe on my constitutionally guaranteed rights. Now, I'm not advocating anybody else do this. I'm just telling you what I have personally decided to do. So Oregon Satellite now has a new customer, me. And the reason they have that new customer is because Charter, or Spectrum, I don't know what name they're using. I think all in marketing Spectrum now. But they've told me that they don't respect my rights, so why would I want to give money to a company that has no respect for my constitutional rights?
So they're a part of Comcast, is the way I understand it, Spectrum. And where is this store exactly?
They're out in the Empire. Well, it's just before you get to the Y on Newmark.
Oh.
You know where the grocery store, I always call it Used Foods. It's the discount grocery out there. It's pretty much catty corner across from them.
Yeah, and they have a lot of high crime area, and it'd be horrible if all of you criminals out there who are armed would find out that, you know, this business Spectrum over there by the Y, they're a gun-free zone, so they could almost not even defend themselves if you criminals out there went to their business and actually held them out. That'd be horrible.
Well, here's the thing. I have a certain amount of sympathy for the employees there because Statistically, 96% of all mass shootings occur in so-called gun-free zones.
That's right.
So the company has set up their place of business as a gun-free zone, which they are legally entitled to do. I have no problem with that. But I think in this day and age, when we have particularly politically oriented violence on the increase, I don't know if I would want to go to work every day in a place where the owners of the business are telling you, well, you know, you come to work for us and blah, 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 blah. And, oh, by the way, if something happens, you're not allowed to defend yourself.
So they should basically make their next employee uniform with a big target on the front of it and say, hey, open for business for anyone who
they
has
might
a gun
as well,
because we won't defend ourselves.
They might as well. You remember for quite a number of years, Pony Village Mall had signs next to the doors, all the entrances, said no firearms permitted. Well, again, they have every legal right to do that. I don't have a problem with it. But the whole time those signs were up, my wife and I did not spend a penny in Pony Village Mall. Now, those signs have since disappeared.
I've noticed that.
We have gone in there and we've purchased a number of things. But all the times those signs were up, we didn't spend a penny in Pony Village.
And, you know, that would only be a wise business decision when you consider that Coos County has the highest percentage of concealed carry license for any county in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're really telling all of those people, don't even bother come here because we don't want your business, if that's what Spectrum wants to say. And they're also telling the criminals, we're a gun-free zone. We won't protect ourselves.
And here's the thing. Because they are a gun-free zone, if I were to go in there, say, to pay my bill, I would, and you know, I would not carry my pistol in there because I would honor their wishes. Well, what happened if some whack job came in there and started shooting the place up? They couldn't defend me, and I would not be able to defend myself.
So what you're saying is not only have they put their employees at more risk,
but their customers
all as well. Of you customers now who go over there down to that store in Empire and go into that building, you now are at risk, a higher risk of being, you know, having been a crime of victim because they won't let you defend yourself.
You got it.
Wow.
You got it. That's exactly right. So, you know, I did what I thought was necessary. I canceled their service. I went to Oregon Satellite. I'm very pleased with the service. You know, their technician's great. Answered all my questions as we went along, because I had a number of questions on the switchover.
Right.
He assisted with reconfiguring my internet and email, because that had to be reconfigured. Helped me with all of that. It was a breeze. It was a pleasure working with the guy. Everything works perfectly, and I am extremely happy about it. And, yeah, maybe I'm paying a couple extra bucks more a month, but I'm not giving money to people that don't appreciate my constitutional rights. And now, in our modern society, it's virtually impossible to quit doing business with everybody that wants
right.
to infringe on your
right.
rights. It just isn't feasible.
You can't do it, right.
But in those cases where you can, I've elected to do that. And, you know, that's my choice. It's a personal choice. Like I said, I don't advocate that anybody else do the same thing. But I think people need to be aware
right.
that there are companies out there that don't give a rat's behind about you or your constitutional rights. All they want is your money.
And you notice none of us here are asking for any boycotts, because we believe in the free market.
Yes.
And if that's what they want to choose, that's your choice. But the customer should know. And the thing is I'm a Spectrum customer. And I can tell you right now is during certain times of the day,
right,
their service slows way down.
Well, that's because they don't have enough bandwidth.
Yeah.
When the gamers are online, they take up all the bandwidth, and it slows it down.
And then I have to go yell at my kid, hey, get off there. Stop watching the porno and the heart of movies. Come on.
In all honesty, I don't know if that can happen with satellite internet. I have not had a problem with it at this point, but I've only had it for a week.
Right.
But it seems to run the same speed all the time. You know, weekends are when I do my updates for the website,
right.
and I'm a very heavy user of the internet at that time, and this week it just went flawlessly.
Well, that's what I'm a late night user too, and it's amazing how much faster it is at that time at hour. But you gotta try to get on 11 in the afternoon, noon, 2 o'clock. It's
The gamers are on.
The gamers are on, and
if you wait till after about 10 or 11 o'clock, then but. You know, that's just the way it is. It's one of those things you got to deal with. But, let's face it, realistically, there's nothing that's 100%. It doesn't exist.
Right.
But I feel now like I'm getting what I'm paying for, and I'm paying my money to a company that doesn't want to infringe on my rights.
And he's a local guy. That's what's cool.
Yeah, it's a local company. That's the other part. All of that money stays locally. It doesn't go to wherever Charter's home office is. I don't know, but I don't care. But I'm supporting a local business. I'm getting a service that does what I need it to do. And I'm protecting my rights. You know, it doesn't get any better than that. Let's take another break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about something else.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily, there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on? He said, I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry, because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Hey everyone, this is Rob from Basin Tackle, and we want to invite you to tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for our Basin Tackle Outdoor Show. It's going to be an hour of fun, frivolity, and of course, fishing. We're also going to have hints, tips, and suggestions to help you catch more fish. Whether you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, we're going to have something for everyone with guests, call-ins, giveaways, and whatever else I can think of as I head into the studio. Remember, folks, that's Wednesdays at 3 p.m. brought to you by Basin Tackle, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a newer used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver, coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. We're just talking in the studio here during a break about some of the things I said last segment. I want everybody to understand, I do not advocate boycotts of any kind. I think they're stupid. I'm not a liberal. You know, if a liberal doesn't like something, they want it shut down. You know, well, I don't approve of that, so you need to shut it down. I don't see things that way. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. This is America. I don't have to agree with them. I don't have to do business with them. But I will defend that right to their opinion.
Yeah, there was a local doctor who was advocating for a measure, a tax measure for higher taxes. And I was opposed to that. In fact, I was out there, one of the people who gathered signatures, and I just stopped going to that clinic because they obviously don't protect my rights to keep my money. And that's just the way you handle it. You know, you don't have to do these strikes or, you know, people go out there with their protest signs. That's my favorite. To me, that makes me want to go to a business.
Yeah, just to spite them.
I'll tell you the funniest story. I had one time a lady was protesting one of the eyeglass stores, and she was sitting, this was in the middle of Albuquerque, and she was sitting on a street, Wyoming Street, which is one of the busiest streets in mid Albuquerque, and people were driving by or coming in, and they would say, "Oh, we saw your guy out there flagging us down for glasses," when she was actually protesting against something that we had done. And it was, "Oh yeah, she's been out there for days. We enjoy her, you know." And you know, you make a little bit of light of it, but all she did was benefit us. She didn't hurt herself because we never did give in to whatever she wanted.
Well, yeah. Well, it's just like these protesters around here that. You know, let's face it, they were not protesting the immigration. They were protesting Donald Trump.
Right.
It's all part of the hate Trump thing. Ignore them. Just ignore them. They're not important. Remember, you can't cure stupid. Stupid people are born stupid, they live stupid, and they die stupid. You can't cure stupid with education. You can't cure stupid with legislation. Stupid is, and that's all there is to it. And the best thing you can do is when you see people being stupid, just avoid them. Ignore them. That's the best thing you can do.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, I've attended a few demonstrations myself. And you know, in all honesty, I come away from them asking myself, well, why did I even do this? Because I'm just not a big demonstrator, you know, public demonstrator. I live my life according to my rules that I've established for myself and my family, and I try to adhere to that as much as I can. But I don't try to inflict it on other people. You know, your lifestyle is considerably different than mine is, Rob.
Oh, absolutely. You know, don't ask about the chimpanzees and the swings. But yeah, my lifestyle is a little different. And you know, the thing is I've had lots of rallies over my time, and I see these kids who think that, oh, this is going to change the world because I'm out here with a sign and chanting whatever, you know, and you're like, yeah, right, kid. I've been here too long.
Jeez. All you're doing is demonstrating.
Right. You know, it was like the people who think that the protesters of the 60s ended the Vietnam War. No, you know what ended the Vietnam War? All those body bags coming back from the war and being sent to all those Midwestern families out in Kansas and Omaha and wherever. You know, that's what did it. But, you know, you got to have these protests because as a campaigner, it's a rallying point for everyone to come together who are like-minded to get that energy going. So you can carry that on through to the next campaign. And like you said, that's exactly what these people are doing. So they can build up this energy on a feigned issue because this is not even a real issue.
No, it's another fake issue that was created by the media.
And they're using this to carry that energy on into the election.
Exactly, which is going to backfire on them.
I think so, too.
Look at the polling. You know, the big thing right now This evening at 6 o'clock our time, 9 o'clock Eastern time,
right.
Donald Trump is going to announce his pick for Supreme Court.
This is the greatest thing he will do in his presidency.
Probably.
Hands down.
Yep. And it was interesting. Now, something I do a lot, you can go online and there's a number of different websites that do man on the street interviews on a whole variety of different subjects. And I like to go on those. And The reason I like them, it gives you insight into what people are thinking. And I was watching one this weekend. They were on some college campus and asking the students there, well, what do you think of Donald Trump's nomination for the Supreme Court? Well, they were all against it. You know, well, he's a racist. He's a misogynist. He's this. He's that. You know what? Donald Trump hasn't announced his pick for the Supreme Court yet. So these little snowflakes on this college campus, they're already opposing something that they don't even know what they're opposing because it hasn't happened yet. And then the libs are all charging in front of the TV cameras. Well, you know, anybody that Trump appoints, they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Well, here's the thing. You don't know what any justice or any judge is going to do because ideally a judge or a justice rules on the law, not on social media.
Right.
And one of the things that's come out, in fact, I was watching Chucky Schumer this morning.
Oh, wasn't that disgusting?
Old what Chucky. An idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, I guess what offends me is he assumes that everybody out there is stupid.
You know his female comedian cousin, you know, the Amy Schumer, she's less offensive than he is at this point.
Pretty much. But he's out there and he's advocating for a Supreme Court justice that makes their rulings based on something other than the Constitution. And I'm reminded of, the Supreme Court justice, who's the darling of the left, is Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yep.
She made the statement a number of times in the past that she makes her rulings based partially on international law.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Not a single one of those Supreme Court justices took an oath to support international law. They took an oath to support the Constitution of the United States of America. If you don't like the laws, you can change the laws. But here's what's happened, folks. And this has been a long time in progress. Liberals can't win at the ballot box. And this has been true for probably 40 years or more.
Well, and it was really proven under the Obama administration when he lost during his second midterms.
They can't win at the ballot box because normal people think their ideas suck, which they do.
They do.
So their only alternative is to use activist judges and enact laws from the bench. Laws are supposed to be enacted by governing bodies like state legislatures and the United States Congress, not by judges. The job of the U.S. Supreme Court, according to the Constitution of the United States, is they are to review law, cases that are brought before them to determine whether or not the rulings in those cases complied with the Constitution. That's their only job.
And, Jim, you hit a key point on the cases that are presented to him. See, any case that had to do with abortion would have to come from the lower courts. And at this point, there's nothing that's even going to be heading to the courts in the next couple of years. So to think that on the first day that they would be able to overturn Roe versus Wade, you know, just because he's appointed a judge is absolutely incredibly stupid.
That's not
stupid.
How it works.
Yes.
Even if there were a case that came up from the lower courts up to the Supreme Court, chances of a hearing on that are 2 to 3 years in the future. That's how the system works. And the other part that I find really, I guess disgusting is the best word I can use. It seems like the entire Democrat Party and all the liberals are basing their continued existence on the ability to kill babies. That's it.
Right.
You know, if you're not willing to kill a baby, well, there's something wrong with you. So basically, they're getting upset because somebody wants to cease the killing of over 60 million children since 1973. That's how many babies have been aborted. 60 million.
And then yet the dichotomy to that is they're protesting just a couple of thousand of parents who are being separated from their children, supposedly, down south of the border here. So, right. You know, they're sitting there.
Being held in concentration camps. Yeah. And
right. Yeah. And yet, you know, these are great places for if you go look at these places where these kids are being held, number one. But number two, we don't know if the people who brought these children are actually their parents. They could be child traffickers. They could be exploiting the children to get in here on a visa.
One of the things Trump has done, he's implemented a program of DNA testing to make sure that the children that are brought in are indeed the children of the adults that brought them in.
They do an immediate eye scan now, and I heard that they were going to start the DNA testing, and I think that's absolutely wonderful.
Well, you know, child trafficking is big business. A lot of people don't realize this, but if you live down around the southern border, it's fairly commonplace. And, of course, the media doesn't tell you anything. The media, it's all hate Trump anyway, and you're never going to get any factual information from mainstream media. So if you think so, just you're living in a fantasy world. Anyway, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to hear from some of our great sponsors. And, of course, we're going to get – oh, this morning on the news from ABC, they talked about how ICE was handing over children for repatriation with their parents. That's crap. ICE doesn't have them. It's Department of Human Services. All this is more propaganda for the abolish ICE crap. It's another lie from the mainstream media. So put on your brain filters, suffer through it. I'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. And we have a special guest lined up for this next segment, Court Boyce. If you remember, Court ran for U.S. Representative and lost out to Art Robinson. But Court's still active down in Curry County, and he's been dealing with these fires. And I want to talk to him about that. Court, welcome to the Jim Bice Show. It's a real privilege to have you on the show here.
Well, the privilege is mine, and thank you, Jim. And, we come up a little short on the 4th District, but we're going to watch how the Forest Service and the Oregon Department of Revenue protects our forests. And, that's not my only issue, certainly, but it is a critical one for this state, as you well know.
Well, you know, after the devastating fires we had down in Curry County last year, and then we had this Lobster Creek fire this year, everybody, I think, is getting a little bit paranoid about the fire season. And it looks like, based on the weather, that this is shaping up to be a little bit worse than the average. But I got a thing you sent me that I found quite interesting. The leader of the group that was camped at Lobster Creek, the youth campground, told the Curry County Parks Director that they will take responsibility for that 397-acre fire, and they have insurance to cover the costs. So it isn't going to cost the taxpayers anything. Is that correct?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic, Jim. And you know, we're in the process of inventorying just how in great detail, just how serious that fire was and what it cost the county, the state. That's one of our pride and joys in our little county is the Lobster Creek Youth Camp. And, I've only been a commissioner a year and a half, but I'm familiar with that. And I'm disappointed in a variety of ways. I am a little bit limited to what I can say. I can tell you that that's good news if they actually follow through.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a very legitimate and comprehensive investigation going on with the sheriff, the Department of Justice, and Coos Forest Protective Association.
Yeah, you know, something that I noticed, and it's fairly evident, I'm sure everybody noticed it, the fires last year, U.S. Forest Service wasn't inclined to do anything until the fire was already out of control. And the fire this year, the Lobster Creek fire, well, everybody's right on top of that instantly and got it put down fairly quickly.
Well, no, not everybody. And that is a rumor that grew some movement. And so, I was right there, and I'm going to, you know, respectfully directly dispute that.
Okay.
No, the Forest Service did help for a little bit, but it was the Oregon Department of Forestry. I mean, I'm getting to know these people better all the time, and they are absolutely fierce firefighters. They have a tremendous record. In fact, there's sometimes I'm going to phrase it this way. There's a different approach to fighting fires
between
the Oregon Department of Revenue and the U.S. Forest Service. And therein lies the difficulty that we've had over the years. The MIST principle that you're familiar with, Jim,
right.
Minimum impact suppression tactics, and that basically says we're going to watch the fires. We actually have a couple of fires in Oregon right now that are one in the wilderness part of the wilderness in East Douglas County, the Umpqua National Forest. And, it's flaring up a little bit. And so I've been on the phone with one of the Douglas County commissioners. They were quickly tuned in, which is great. And yet we're trying our best to, around the state as these fires come up, we don't, you know, whether it's wilderness or not, we want the fires put out. Everything else will take care of itself. And that's just, it's kind of, I'm not a self-appointed crusader here or something, but it's common sense, and you and I have talked about it off air many times, and this is what's got to happen. But back to the Oregon Department of Forestry, they fight fires at night.
Right.
They just are quick to evaluate and get their people there, and they're just how they're wired to put out fires, especially on private lands, and protect our great resources.
Yeah, you know, over the years, I've been very, very impressed with Coos Forest Protective Association. They, during fire season, they are very, very good at keeping the media advised as to what's going on every step of the way and keeping us appraised of what's next. And with U.S. Forest Service, you never hear a peep out of them. In fact, you've got to twist their arm to get them to say hello. And I don't think that's right, because the people, you know, these are our trees. These belong to the people. And when they're out there burning, the people have a right to know why and what's being done to protect our property. So I see a glaring difference between local control and national control anyway on just about every aspect. And I'm really impressed with how quickly they put down that Lobster Creek fire. When that first started, I was anticipating a repeat of last year. You know,
well, the benefit to rural Oregon in particular, but the national forests and the private lands that we're so dependent on, sustainable timber harvest. I lived it, and I saw the effort that ODF. And if they don't do what I think they should do, I'm going to say that too. But I just can't see, or did I witness anything that was anything but professional, effective, determined, respectful, careful, all the above. Honestly, Jim, it wasn't for them. There's no question in my mind we would have lost Brookings, or at least had the fire hit the perimeter.
Yeah,
and during the Chetco Bar fire. And so when you just really think about the fuel loads we have down here, and I want to talk in a minute, if you like, on where we are this fire season.
Yeah, I would like to do that. Yeah.
Related to all this, I met and I'm getting to know better the new Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest Supervisor. And, you know, that, including the tip of it, goes down into California. It's in five different counties in Southwest Oregon.
Right.
And that's where the forest grows the healthiest and the fastest. And so I'm going to give him the benefit of doubt. I think that he's going to come on board. And because he has a tremendous firefighting background, I think if he would have been here during the beginning of the Chetco Bar fire, I don't want to overstate this, but I believe that he would have taken a very strong approach to getting that fire out. Now, I could be wrong, but again, I want to give him the benefit of doubt. So I'm optimistic there. And one more thing about ODF, and then I'll quit singing their praises at least for a little bit here. But they're the best of the Western 11 states.
Uh-huh.
I really believe we can make the claim that they are the best. And it's not just firefighting; it's protecting forests. That's where I want everybody that hears me to kind of visualize what our future is. And I think that they are tremendous leaders in that category, at those categories, Jim.
Well, I'm glad you're giving us a little bit of insightful hope, because I remember the Biscuit Fire. I remember the other fire. I don't remember the name of it, a few years ago, that devastated thousands and thousands of acres. And, you know, I'm a hunter. I'm an outdoorsman. I'm a camper. And the first thing that strikes me when I go into the woods is the tremendous fuel loads that we've allowed to build up in a lot of places that have not been taken care of, because, you know, the weather is what it is. You know, we know that every summer it gets dry. We know that every summer fire hazards increase. We get these lightning storms. There's a whole bunch of reasons a fire could start. And it all seems to come down to how you manage the forests and how you maintain them, how well they're able to stand up against the weather. And, you know, the weather's a constant. We know that that's going to happen. But is there any, to your knowledge, are there any new ideas as to how to properly manage a forest and cut down on this tremendous load under the trees that's causing the problem?
Well, that is absolutely, in my view, the critical question that we have. And we have a variety of tools. And you said wisely said there, the tremendous load of fuels that we have. There's a variety of reasons. The two biggest ones are lack of sustained timber harvest.
Right.
On an annual basis. I mean, of all the timber companies I know, the people that are dependent, you know, their careers are logging.
Right.
None of them believe or want, choose or would choose to harvest those trees at a greater level than what the growth rate is. Well, so there is the formula, the logical common sense approach that we're not going to log it as fast as it grows. In some national forest, not even close.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. But the fuel loads, two things. Yes, number one, we're just not getting timber contracts out there. And we have some mills that are so critical to our economy in the southwest part of Oregon, as you well know, that they need log supplies. All the log trucks you're seeing nowadays, at least 80%, I think, is the accurate stat there, are off private lands. And that timber is going to run out. To keep mills going, we've got to keep a reasonable number of logs coming back to the tremendous companies that have these mills. And so the other thing is, on the fuel loads, we're losing our deer population,
yes,
which each deer will eat 7 pounds a day. And our deer population is probably a half what it should be. And that's because our cougar population, the predator tally there for the mountain lion is almost double what our habitat can sustain in Oregon.
Well, that happened a number of years ago when they decided they were not going to allow us to use bait and dogs to hunt bear and cougar. But the thing is that fuel load on the floor of the forest also provides additional cover for these predators. It gives the predators a distinct advantage over the prey animals because they can get closer to them without being seen. Whereas if we were thinning the underbrush, it would give the prey animals a much more of a fighting chance. So,
That underbrush also cuts off the sunlight for the Doug fir seedlings, the conifer seedlings, not just Doug fir. So that is definitely an issue, and you know, you can take a torch to an average size, say a 30-year-old tree, in the worst conditions, with high humidity or low humidity and high heat, you can take a blowtorch to a Doug fir and try and light it, and it's not going to light. But when you get all that kindling that the deer are not eating and that we're not physically clearing, it becomes incredibly volatile, and that's where we have to learn the difference between normal burn cycles and nuclear or mega fires, nuclear as I call them.
Yeah. Well, I noticed one of the areas that I hunt, when they had fire several years ago, I went up there shortly after they had suppressed the fire because I wanted to see what kind of damage there was and how it was going to impact my hunting. And one of the things I noticed in the areas where there was a particularly heavy fuel load, and I knew this from being familiar with the area, virtually everything was burned. It was like a moonscape, scorched earth, literally. But in those areas where they had done thinning, there was some stuff on the ground that had burned, but the bigger trees, by and large, they were charred a little bit, but they were coming back almost immediately. So,
see, Jim, that's, as you know, too, that is nature's way.
Yeah.
That is how the old growths are protected. They are normally fire-resilient trees that is part of nature where burns are, that's why some prescribed burns are acceptable to the people that I work with. And good business and good management. But the megafires, they destroy the old growth. They destroy everything. Including, forgive me, but the dang, I almost said a different word, the dang spotted owl habitat. We just incinerate them. All,
And then
try and listen to the radical portion of the environmentalists that tell us that this is nature. No, it's not. They've had their way for 35 years, and it's destroying our forests, and it's destroying our culture, our future, and our livelihoods.
Well, for years and years and years, the environmentalists told us, well, when you log, you got to clean out the streams, you've got to do this, you got to do that. And, of course, we complied. And then they came back after about 25 or 30 years of that and said, oh, no, we've got to put snags back in the streams. We've got to have the brush growing up to the streams to help keep the water cool for the salmon. So after all these years of spending additional money to clean them out, now we're spending even more money to create snags and create things that are friendly for the fish. It just goes to show you that these environmentalists oftentimes don't have a clue what they're talking about.
Well, we know that science continually changes. And in respect for good science, not junk science, in respect for good science, the people that you and I run with that are dependent on good, healthy forests, I mean, they accepted that. But like you, your point is very good in that we know that things change.
Right.
And just like whatever the climate aspect is right now, we know these wind-driven fires have got to be, I mean, we just have to be aware. And we have to amend our attitudes and our management policies to prepare for whatever cycle we're in weather-wise right now, whatever, you know, drought years. There are really wise ways to consistently protect the public lands and the national forests.
Yes, there are. And, it just seems to me that oftentimes I read the minutes of a lot of these hearings we have on things of this nature, and I see one thing that is consistently missing. Why are we not getting testimony and input from the people on the ground that actually derive their living from the woods? These are the people. These are the true conservationists. These are the people that understand the forest. They understand how they grow. They understand what it takes to maintain a healthy forest, but all too often they're totally ignored.
And that is an excellent point, because we've gone from forest management to fire management. And
right.
You know, growing up as a kid in Gold Beach, my dad was good friends with Ted Burgess down there, who was a local district ranger. And he was a true forester. I mean, his desire in life was to grow big, beautiful forests. Well, we're losing that percentage, you know, that category of our people, and we're replacing them with firefighters because we have to.
Yeah.
And yet, when you go to the local ranger district offices, I mean, it's just out of proportion right now, and it's costing us dearly.
Yes, yes, it is. You know, and there's another aspect of that. In fact, you guys down in Curry County, I think, have seen it worse than anywhere else in the state. When you don't manage the forest properly, when you allow the fuel load to build up, when you allow these fires to occur, that attracts insects that then attack the healthy trees that are left. And
it's really disheartening. It's adding insult to injury because many of us, you included, common sense, logical thinking people, have beat this drum as respectfully and as consistently as we could over the years, and now we're up to our forehead with the insanity of what the dogma we're trying to that they're trying to force us to accept. And the perfect example is we just lost. Well, the final ruling was 2.5%, 4,000 acres, Jim, the 172,000 acres burned.
Right.
So I'm not giving up that fight. I mean, I am taking it to them, and there's some other people that are smarter than me that are jumping in, and it's so much like the entire conclusion of the Biscuit Fire and the other fires that you referenced there that it's just, wow. We just can't give them the last word on this.
No, well, you know, and the other part of it that just absolutely... I'm flummoxed. I can't understand why, but every time we have one of these major fires, they don't seem to want to allow the loggers to go in and do salvage logging, and we're letting millions of dollars worth of assets rot away on the ground. What is the theory behind that? What's a rationalization for not harvesting these partially burned trees and getting the economic value from them?
It'll just make your head spin off. I mean, I don't know how else to characterize that, but I couldn't have said it better than what you just said. What is the rationality behind those decisions? And I'm with you. It is it's just egregious to try and to continually be overcome with that kind of,
I
got to say insanity.
You're having the same problem I have, Cord. I have to be very careful what I say on the air as opposed to what I would say one-on-one.
There you go. we're going to hold the folks that are portion of the Forest Service into these improper, unacceptable decisions. We're going to hold them responsible if we have another fire that this time does take Brookings, because there might not be any stopping. When you look at the trees that are sticking up there, literally thousands. I don't know. Maybe as individual sticks of dynamite, each one of them, that might be an overstatement. But the point is, that is a fuel load now that we are really up against. That's what keeps me up at night. And I'm just going to push back 24/7.
Well, I know that if I lived in a rural area, I mean outside of the city limits, first thing I would do probably is clear all the brush and trees from within, say, 50 or 60 feet of my house. But people don't do that now. They want all of this lush greenery right up against their house, and then they can't seem to understand why their house burns down every time there's a fire. And... Then they come with their hand out expecting the taxpayers to reimburse them for being stupid. You know?
Well, yeah. You know, I come down on the other side a little bit. If they are irresponsible, that's one thing, because they're also putting their neighbors at a greater risk.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes it is the radical environmental approach that basically is saying we all need to live in cities. We don't like you, and we're going to tell you how to live. Therefore, you shouldn't be out in the brush. One thing I do want to say about the defensible space, and it is imperative that your listeners, you know, take this as a gracious reminder that you've got to do that every year. you've got to clear your place. The risk, in addition, though, is just remember when it comes, if what they're saying on the defensible space is we're going to live.
Right.
We're going to be required to live with nuclear fires. And I'm pushing back on that, too, because that is almost saying, okay, we'll do the defensible space. We're responsible to do that. It is a wise approach, but it is not the only answer. And so, and the best scenario I can give you is when the fire in Eagle Creek on the Columbia River jumped a mile.
All right.
That didn't have anything to do with defensible space.
No. And, well, you know, you get the wind blowing, and one, as dry as things are, one spark can travel a tremendous distance, and it only takes one spark. You know, I know from being up
Jim,
in the woods.
On the Lobster Creek fire, that is a new lesson. I wouldn't say a new lesson, but it was a very good reminder. That fire went in six hours went 2 miles.
Yeah.
It just kept throwing that fire in front of it. And boy, when they finally got that corral, they got a corral just in time. By the time the Coos Forest Protective did, before they got the Oregon Department of Forestry reinforcements showed up less than 24 hours later with tons of equipment.
Yeah, that, you know, this state by and large does a pretty good job on managing our forests when they're allowed to do so. The problem is that we have entirely too many people, and I question, you know, I've sat in on a lot of hearings over the years. A lot of these people, I call them preservationists because they want to preserve everything, and it never occurs to them that you can't preserve something if you take nature out of the equation. But I question whether or not some of these people have actually ever been out in the woods other than driving down the interstate and seeing trees on either side. Because they know absolutely nothing about it. I've listened to so many of these so-called experts that don't seem to have a clue what really happens in the forests. You know,
they use that term circular reasoning, which means they have no logical beginning, no logical end.
Exactly.
And they have a notion that and again they want to tell us how to live.
Yeah, basically, and I think in the era of Donald Trump, normal people are starting to wake up to that and rejecting it. I got to take a break here, Court. I kind of skipped one, so I'm going to combine a couple. It's going to run probably about 5 minutes. Are you able to hang on and stay with us after the break?
Who's going to say no to you?
Hey, believe me, a lot of people do. Especially my
I'll be
wife.
Right here. No hurry, doing fine.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
Hi, Danny at Far West Tire and Auto here. With winter in your rearview mirror and summer around the corner, it's time to consider upgrading to Goodyear tires. And now couldn't be a better time. With Goodyear soaring into summer savings event from April 1st to June 30th, you can get up to $160 back on 4 select Goodyear tires. So stop by Far West Tire and Auto on Highway 101, Coos Bay. Always the right tire, always the right price.
The RV business is booming at the Boomin' Y, and Gibbs RV is looking for nice pre-owned RVs to consign or buy. Gibbs RV makes it so simple. They will come to your location, give you a fair appraisal, and help take care of all the paperwork. It doesn't get any easier than that. So let the professionals at Gibbs RV take the hassle out of selling or consigning your RV. Stop by and see them today at 1845 Ocean Boulevard in Coos Bay by the big Boomin' Y and Empire, or check them out at GibbsRV.com.
Looking for electronics or musical instruments? Do you like jewelry? Are you looking for a new or used firearm? How about tools? Or maybe you could use some extra cash. World Pawn Exchange, located at 1980 Sherman Avenue in downtown North Bend, buys and sells firearms, gold and silver, coins and jewelry, musical instruments, electronics, and more. At World Pawn Exchange, you'll find more than you can possibly imagine. World Pawn Exchange, 1980 Sherman Avenue in North Bend.
In just a fast few minutes from right now, you can have life insurance for up to $500,000 without taking a medical exam and without leaving your home. We're Fast Life, and we're going to make this easy and fast. Odds are that you don't have enough insurance, or you're paying way too much for what you got, or you don't have any, and that's not good. Listen, nobody likes to think about life insurance, but we're grown-ups now, so call and protect your family. 1-800-254-9567, or go to fastlife.life. You've got insurance? That's great, but you may be able to get more coverage and pay less than what you're paying now. And with no medical exam, you can get it right over the phone, and that's fast. Faster than a speeding bullet? No, but fast. And we also said we make it easy. So call and get quotes, then submit an application over the phone, and that's it. And that's easy. Get approved, and coverage starts instantly. And that's fast. Faster than the speed of light? No, but fast. Call 1-800-254-9567 or go to fastlife.life. Fastlife.life. It's revolutionary. It's Fast Life.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road. In your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting ad price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Are your medical bills piling up due to cancer or another serious illness? You are not alone. Many people face this challenge. Here's how Coventry Direct can help. You can receive an immediate cash payment by selling your life insurance policy. If you have $100,000 or more of life insurance, you may be eligible to sell your policy, even a term policy. To find out if you qualify, call Coventry Direct today at 1-800-510-2800 to speak to one of our policy specialists. That's 1-800-510-2800. The cash you receive from selling your policy can be used to help pay medical bills or whatever you choose to give you financial security and peace of mind. Call Coventry Direct at 1-800-510-2800 or visit us at CoventryDirect.com. Coventry Direct. Giving you the cash you need when you need it most. Coventry Direct is a marketing company and will refer qualified policies to a licensed entity.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. I have on the phone with me Court Boyce. We're talking about, I guess we're talking about the fire situation in Western Oregon and what's being done and what can be done. And Court, a couple months ago, I talked to former Representative Wayne Krieger down there, and he indicated to me that he was working with a group of people that were going. They wanted to petition U.S. Department of Interior to take another look at some of their management policies. Are you involved with that?
Somewhat, Jim, and I think it's the next stage. You know, back to ODF, this is a first step to Oregon, and hopefully, as a leader, eventually other Western states will be taking a greater role in forest management. And it reminds me as well, the congressional investigation that I finally got through my county commission board down here to ask Merkley and Wyden to aggressively check into the Chetco Bar fire and the way it was managed from the very beginning. We just want to collect the facts. As you know, we only lost 7 or 8 homes. We didn't lose any lives, thank the good Lord.
Yeah.
But, yes, you bring up a good point there that, you know, if anybody can get something like that done, it would be Wayne Krieger.
Yeah, Wayne, and when I talked to him, he was extremely angry about the whole situation, and he felt like they had been stonewalled by U.S. Forest Service, and he was not a happy camper, which I can understand. They, somewhere along the line, these people forgot they work for us. We don't work for them. And maybe they need to be reminded of that.
Well, they get a government paycheck, just like me as a county commissioner, and understanding public service.
Right.
Not just not just in talk, but in walk. And yes, I share Wayne's frustration and anger and his determination not to accept the unacceptable.
Okay. Now, since Trump has been president, have you seen any difference in attitudes from Forest Service or Department of Interior as opposed to what it was like under Obama?
No, I haven't. However, with the exception certainly of Ryan Zinke, you know, watching the Forest Service, the chain of command changing there at the top, the U.S. Forest Service chief,
right,
losing Took, et cetera. I don't need to spend a lot of time on that. I don't imagine you want, not necessary. But, that I have no lack of optimism, however. It's a great day to be an American. I mean, we're going to hear a new Supreme Court justice, I think, that we can really have confidence in to follow the Constitution fully and understand what the Founding Fathers established and determined and, you know, their vision of what precisely that means. The unemployment, even though it's the highest in Curry County, 5.7 for the 36 counties of Oregon, the international issues, the accomplishment that this president is making, it is turning some heads, and I think it's pulling a lot of our country together. Yes, I see the divisions out there. You probably didn't want to spend time on this, but I appreciate that you brought him up, and it's motivating. It reminds us that we all have a responsibility to protect our society and to understand why we live in America and what that means and why we can boldly puff our chest out a little bit. We're the greatest country that ever existed since time began.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't teach that in schools anymore. America is taught as a form of relativism. Our representative republic, which they never do, they always refer to us as a democracy, which we're not, but they portray our form of government as just another form that's not necessarily any better or any worse than any other form of government. And anybody that has an IQ in double digits would understand that just isn't true, but that's the crap they're teaching our young people. And as long as we have young people coming out of our government indoctrination centers that don't understand that we are a constitutional republic and that all of the assets of this country belong to the people and not to the government, it makes it even more difficult to get anything accomplished.
You know, and this is Rob Boyce. I'm on the other end here of the microphone. But one of the things that I find amazing is that, you know, you were talking about that 5.7 and employment rate. Just a couple of years, I believe that was double what it is now. That's an impressive number just to talk about what this president has done. And I'm glad you did bring it up because, you know, it ties into something else that Jim was just saying, is that these kids come out and they're taught moral relativism and that capitalism is bad, but it is capitalism that actually is saving these forests from a lot of these fires if we'd implement some more market values.
Yeah. So.
Well, we are a constitutional republic, and the Constitution is the greatest document ever written, in my view, with the exception of the
Bible,
the good book, and the Bible. And so, you know, that's the beauty of representative government. You vote me to represent you in this republic, and if I don't do my job, I lose my job. And it starts with building trust. It starts, you know, your program. I just want to say I just really respect the great success you've had, and hopefully today I won't compromise any of your listeners and have your ratings go down. But
I
just really
it.
Appreciate it. But, yeah, representative government, it's the Bill of Rights. Thank God our founding fathers understood what that meant to the individual. And that individual says, those 11 over there can't tell us 10 over here just by simple one person
right.
majority what we're going to do. And that's why you see this continual, upheaval on the other side. It's going way beyond liberalism. It's going into the progressive portions of our society that basically is becoming unhinged with the fact that they are outnumbered.
Yep.
And the good people are rising up and are saying, hey, we understand now what you're all about. We're going to push back. And that includes our schools. That includes integrity in government. That includes keeping families together. We just got to go toe-to-toe with them, and including the people that would steal our forests from us and ruin our children's future.
Yep. You know, you're absolutely right, Court. I fight this battle every day when I'm out on the street, and, of course, once a week here on the air. And, you know, the success of this show isn't because of me. The only reason this show is successful is because everything on this show is truthful and can be proven. It's not my opinion. It's not somebody else's opinion. It's what is and what can be documented. And, you know, in almost 30 years on the air, I'm batting 1,000. Nobody's ever proved that I've said anything untrue. And, you know, I pride myself on the fact that, number one, I don't tell people what to think. I just give them facts, kind of like we're doing in our conversation today. These are the things that are happening, and this is why they happen. This is what we may be able to do to change the outcome. And that's the way things are supposed to be. We're supposed to have open discussions. We're supposed to sit down with parties that may or may not agree with us and work out something that's acceptable to everybody. But what's been happening in recent months is we've got people out there, they don't want to talk about the issues. They want to immediately shoot the messenger. And, you know, you probably didn't hear it because I did it in the first part of the program this week. But I finally broke down and I bought myself a Make America Great Again hat. And the reason I did it was primarily to challenge the I don't know if I should say mentally challenged. Let's just use ordinary terms. To challenge stupid people to explain to me just why in the hell is it Donald Trump is such a horrible person and why all of the things he's done are not good for America.
You're trying to start conversations, aren't you? Just, you know, that's a conversation starter right there, your hat.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's hard to have a conversation with somebody that doesn't even know why they're out there protesting, because most of them don't. They don't understand the issues at all. And it goes right back to our original topic of forest management. Over the years, I have seen and heard so many people that think they know about forest management, but they've never been in the woods. You know, you mentioned earlier the spotted owl. As far as I'm concerned, if any politician wants to do a fundraiser to raise funds for his campaign, advertise a spotted owl feed. You'll have people lined up for miles. You know?
Oh, that's funny.
Well,
yeah.
you fight fire with fire. And if they want to use tactics that are just totally beyond the pale, I don't think most normal people want to go to the extremes that they do, but we can certainly turn a lot of it around and throw it back in their faces. You know, the people that don't want to manage the forest, fine. Buy them a house in the forest, let them live there, and see how long they maintain their attitudes. You know, this is what works.
Well, it's the irony of irony. You mentioned the young people. They don't even know why they're
demonstrating
or demonstrating, and they're destroying their own future.
Well, yeah,
because your point a minute ago, reminder that we don't even teach Western civilization in our education system anymore.
No.
We put these kids through college to become business advocates and business administrators, and then we tell them while we're teaching them that capitalism doesn't work.
When
does socialism ever work? I mean, they don't even have toilet paper.
I know.
In Venezuela,
right? Yeah.
Tell me how great that works. Tell about the poor people in China that are oppressed. I mean, the list goes on and on. And, our grandkids, our grandparents and parents left us a great country. And so our job is to
try to pass it on. Yeah. And that's why I think, most normal people always want their children to do better than they have. And that, I think that's a normal human condition, and it's a good thing because it continuously pressures the next generation to exceed what their parents did, and that's good. Forward progress is always a good thing, but we've got an education system and indeed an entertainment industry and the media that seems intent on turning our children into a bunch of idiots. And they're unfortunately doing a pretty good job.
Well, it's a groupthink mentality, and we joke sometimes about political correctness, and yet that's becoming more than just a light. It's becoming a dogma. It's becoming
a
way of life that restricts us from individual thinking. And our founding fathers would just be going, "What in the world? This country has given us the greatest standard of living and quality of life. There's a difference between those two.
Oh, yeah.
We've been able. I mean, the American dream is alive and well.
Yes, it
again.
Is.
And it's when you look at unemployment is as low as it is. I think it went back up 4%, but it's been around 3.8, Jim, 3.9.
Right.
I think, Rob, you probably got a better handle on that. But doggone it, it's just America's coming back, and we've got to look at it that way. And that's what good leaders, I think, are figuring out. It is really critical.
It really is. And you touched on something that I think is extremely important that a lot of people don't understand. Our Constitution was designed for individual rights, not group rights. And what the left has tried to do for the last 40-odd years is move everybody into a cubbyhole. You're a member of this group. You're a member of that group. You're a member of another group. When the Constitution was not designed for groups, it was designed for individuals and individual freedom. And we seem to have lost that.
In fact, that's the exceptionality that we talk about. Most of the constitutions, even existence today, recognize a king or a queen as their final authority, which shows that they believe that deities or gods or people who are related to a special royal bloodline should be treated above the rest of the people, whereas our Constitution says, no, we the people are the ones who lead this dance.
Yep. And
well, hey, guys, Rob, you just mentioned something there on the king and the queen. The Constitution is our king.
Yes.
That's the way it was set up, and that's the way we should be teaching our kids. My kids reminded me the other day, Dad, if you'd have lived 200 years ago, you definitely wouldn't have been a blue blood. And I said, that's right. I've been with the peasants. Don't you forget it either. since time began, man has tried to oppress man. And
right.
The founding fathers, why did they do the Fourth Amendment? You guys know as good as anyone.
Exactly.
They got tired of the British kicking their door in the middle of the night, terrorizing their families.
Yeah.
Their wives and children. And so that's primarily no unreasonable search and seizures,
Yep.
So, the Constitution is our king, and that's a great thing.
Yep. Court, I'm going to have to terminate it here. I've still got to do one commercial. We're at the top of the hour. So I sincerely thank you for coming on. I hope you come on again.
Well, I appreciate that invite again, great success to you, gentlemen. And, yeah, if you want to talk about sudden oak death next time or whatever you want to talk about, if I can help your listeners, thank you.
Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate it. And with that, we're going to do a commercial, but I got to give something away. This is from the Lucky Star Chinese Restaurant, located at the foot of Newmark on Highway 101. Everybody knows where they're at. They open 6 days a week, from 11 in the morning to 9:30 in the evening. They're closed Mondays. And you can dine in, you can carry out, or they deliver. And what I have here is a certificate for their house special dinner. That includes barbecued pork, sweet and sour pork, fried shrimp, a spring roll of pork fried rice, and pork chow mein. And I'm going to give this away to call on number 3 at 541-267-2124. Dial the phone right now. We're going to go into a break, and I'll probably be talking to you next week, but because by the time we get out of the break, we're going to be out of time.
Hey, Oregon, it's Rob from Bass and Tackle. Don't forget to tune in to KWRO or KWRO.com every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for your premier Southern Oregon radio program, the Bass and Tackle Outdoor Show, where we set you up for adventure and give you directions to get there.
Yeah, I left my heart in Oregon.
Well, I was driving across town when my car got down, started lurching and trying to die. Well, luckily, there was a shop, and when it struggled to a stop, a nice fella met me right outside. I said, man, something's wrong. What the heck is going on? He said, I tell you this, I got no doubt. You just relax and don't you worry. We can fix it in a hurry because your car is what we're all about. We do it all.
Bayshore Auto and RV Repair, your one-stop shop for all your automotive and RV mechanical repairs. Stop by and see Jeff and his friendly staff on Bayshore Drive in Coos Bay.
Slip away to the tropics. The tropical decor at the new Copacabana, North Bend's newest and friendliest night spot. The Copacabana is located at 645 Virginia Avenue and features not only a full-service bar for all your favorite adult beverages, but offers hamburgers, seafood, and appetizers to satisfy your munchies. They're open from 5 till midnight Monday through Thursday and 5 till 2:30 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. At the Copacabana, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights are special with a live DJ for your dancing and listening pleasure. That's the Copacabana, 645 Virginia in North Bend. Stop by tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Okay, the break didn't take quite as long as I thought. It looks like I've got about a minute and a half here. I want to thank Court Boyce for coming on. I want to thank Rob Taylor for coming in. And I want to thank every one of you for listening. Oftentimes I don't get to say enough about how much I appreciate my listeners. And I really do.
I can hear him at the window. You hear him? Yeah, 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 Jim.
Well,
woo!
You know, the thing is, a lot of our listeners here are very sharp people.
Yes, they are.
And I get calls and emails all the time, and I'm just continuously impressed by the knowledge and understanding of a lot of people in this area. So I want to take this opportunity to sincerely thank each and every one of you.
Sometimes they think I'm smarter than I am just because I'm on the show. It's not true.
Hey, sitting in front of a microphone doesn't make you any smarter, trust me. If it did, I'd be a genius by now, and I'm still dragging my knuckles. So, anyway, we are out of time, and we will be back next week. And until then, go out there, and you have a great week.